The H2O Podcast.
I'm Sir Robin Knox-Johnston. Thank you for downloading this week's H2O Podcast from BBC Radio Solent. The pick of the week's nautical news and features.
On this week's podcast, we hear from Chesil Sailability, who are looking for new volunteers. Also, Swanage Lifeboats Engineer receives her MBE, HMS Defender comes home for Christmas, and we revisit the reindeer in the submarine story.
The H2O Podcast from BBC Radio Solent.
This podcast is free. Our terms and conditions, along with details of other BBC podcasts, can be found at bbc.co.uk/Solent.
It's approaching that time of year when you might be considering a new venture for the new year. And how about the opportunity to experience life on and off the water whilst helping a good cause? The charity Chesil Sailability, which is based at the Weymouth and Portland Sailing Academy, is looking for more volunteers as they enter 2015. And I'm joined in the studio by the chair of the charity, Hugh Young, and the director of sailing, Marcus Frith, one of whom has just broken one of our chairs over there by the sounds of things. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Very nice to see you both. I was just saying to you off air, Hugh, it's been a great year for you guys. And, you know, some really significant milestones. We've spoken about it before now, but do you just want to sort of refresh us as to what's happened to Chesil Sailability over the course of the year?
Well, it's been an exciting year. Our first full season, which is always a great thing to tick off and smile. The weather gods have been good, and we've had a great season that way. Only lost a couple of days with the sailing. Our first regatta in the UK on the sea with the boats that we sail, which is fantastic for Weymouth. Amazing growth in our volunteers. We're developing new boats and new opportunities. And we've secured the national championships for 2015, which will be held at Weymouth and Portland, which is really exciting for us. First time that's been on the sea, so another first for us.
Good, exciting season. There were. Am I getting my wires crossed? There was a new vessel this year, or new vessels this year that were unveiled.
We've had a number actually. We've had just tremendous support from local people in the community. We've got now a core of four of our accessible dinghies. Some through in memory of Rod Shipley, some in memory of Zoe Lloyd, and an anonymous donation, and then also a rib in memory of Zoe Lloyd as well. And that's been fantastic. And we've also secured a porter cabin, so we've now got a base to operate from. The year before, we were operating out of a tent, which wasn't so good. So, you know,
literally a tent.
Well, yeah, very good tent.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Very posh tent. But yeah, so it's all building every year. It's just fantastic.
And I don't know if it's easy to cast your mind back to Christmas 2013, but did you expect the last 12 months to be this successful?
No. No, it's been growing all the time, and I don't think we would ever have anticipated that we'd be where we are now at the beginning of the year.
Now, Marcus, with the I guess the problem, and it's an enviable problem to have, is with that momentum, with that number of vessels, you are always on the lookout for volunteers. But I guess the need is even more urgent because of that.
It is. I mean, I jotted something down as I was walking down, and I liken it with that nautical theme. We are like an iceberg. We've had a lot of sun, and the visible side is our sailing on the water, the ribs and those things. But the invisible side that you can't see is all the wonderful volunteers that cover all the other roles, admin, IT support, first aid, looking after the sailors on site, boat maintenance, sailor care. So, yes, the challenge is always to match the growth with our volunteer team.
I feel like I met one of your volunteers this year, and I was saying to her, you know, I'd be no good at this because my sailing experience and expertise is limited. And she said, actually, we need people right across the board. And that's something you've just touched on there.
Absolutely. And we can also teach people how to sail. That's quite an easy part. It's all the other support that we just is invaluable to us.
Talking about invaluable, Hugh, it's very easy, I think, for me in this chair when we speak to people who we have on, you know, once every couple of months to forget. But say somebody is listening to this for the first time and they'll hear the words Chesil Sailability, but they maybe won't understand the good work you do. I don't know if there are any examples you can give us, maybe individuals who people the type of people who have benefited from sailing with you in the last 12 months.
One of the joys of this year has been the wonderful range of people who've come and the different reasons they come for. Some people have never sailed before and have just got hooked just by being out on the water, just the fresh air and the beauty of being out on the harbour. Some people used to sail a long time ago, didn't think they could, suddenly found they've got back into it, so that joy has been rekindled. We've got one sailor who used to sail very competitively, had a stroke, wasn't able to sail again, thought his racing days were over. He's now competing at a very high level. So they're all individual stories, but they just, yeah, they just get hooked.
The array of disabilities is as wide as the array of people, I would have thought, and that you have to be equipped with vessels and volunteers that can accommodate those.
Yes, we're making our sport as accessible to everyone. Sometimes it's people who have a learning disability or a physical disability. Sometimes it's people who are just used to sail conventionally, have a problem, can't continue to do that, so they move into us, sail with us, move out again. We're at the sort of end of a spectrum of making, you know, being able to sail. And so, it's just about making it accessible for everyone. So anybody who wants to come, we'll be able to get them out sailing. We might have to stop and think about, you know, a bit in some cases where we need to make special adaptations. But, yeah, we'll get anybody out on the water.
You both look happy. You know, I imagine Marcus, it's quite a fulfilling situation to be in.
They're an amazing group of people. The smiles are just intoxicating. You watch them have that freedom of being able to jump in a boat. They may have had to give up driving or other normal things that we take for granted. But once they're in the boat, they're equal to everybody and it gives them that freedom back. So that's a very powerful thing to watch.
And, you know, people thinking about New Year's resolutions, do you as a charity have a plan for 2015 goals that you would like to achieve?
I mean, I guess we have a wonderful training program that we'll have in place to work with those new volunteers. We've got the excitement of a national championships, which is always is good in second year. But it's also
which month is that in? Do we know?
That will be in August, 14th, 15th, and 16th, which is fantastic. Hopefully, the sun will shine again. But there's an opportunity just for grassroots sailors. And one of the things that stands out this year is we've had many new sailors join us. Very, very few leave us. So we're growing by the fact they keep coming back. So that really is our plan for next year, is to grow with that, work with the volunteers and continue to grow our base of sailors.
The H2O podcast from BBC Radio Solent.
Holly Phillips. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning, Sasha.
Lovely to speak to you. Now, this time on a Saturday, every Saturday, we speak to somebody who has graced the pages of the papers during the week. Holly, tell us why you were in the papers this week.
I was in the paper this week because I received my MBE from the Queen up at Windsor Castle.
Oh, congratulations. And a glorious picture of you. Was it your mum and your sister? Either side, with Holly in the middle, just beaming just after she's collected her MBE. It was at Windsor Castle, wasn't it?
That's right, yes. It was a fantastic day and it was lovely weather as well, which always helps, doesn't it?
So you obviously had to wait it was New Year's one, wasn't it? So you had to wait a bit of a time. But remind us why you got this.
Yes, it was in the Queen's birthday honours in June, and it was for services to maritime safety and the community of Swanage. I'm actually reading that because it still seems still rather incredible.
Oh, bless you. It was obviously a total surprise. But you now the last thing I want to be is sexist, obviously, but you and what you have done is something that I think when people read it will actually raise an eyebrow also, because you don't imagine it. A female in your field is doing something like this.
It's maybe not a natural environment as such, but equally there's lots of female engineers, lots of female lifeboat crew as well. So it's not something that, you know, it's basically anyone can do it.
Of course,
it's just
of course.
Whether people choose to do it, I guess.
Yeah, and tell us what it was that you designed.
Well, I was the project manager for the new Thames boats, which are called the E-Class on the River Thames. I was part of quite a large team of engineers and operators. So we've got three of the new boats up there now.
And obviously all being very successful. What are you working on next, Holly?
Well, we're just getting the other, an all-weather lifeboat class, the Shannon. We're getting that into full production now. And we're actually bringing the build of that in-house, which is very exciting, in pool as well. So
actually being built locally, designed locally, and then obviously used around the coast in all good time, yeah?
That's right, yes. There's a few Shannons already on service around the coast, and we're just building the rest of the fleet, roughly six per year, including a series of relief boats as well.
Well, Holly Phillips, now with your newly decorated Holly Phillips. I was talking to an engineer, male engineer, just a couple of weeks ago, who said we desperately need more female engineers coming into the profession. There are just not enough. And one of the main reasons they cited for there not being enough girls taking this at college or university or wherever was that there were not enough role models. Well, I think they've got one now.
Oh, well, thank you. I think a lot of it is actually just doing what you're passionate about, and just, you know, doing what you want to do and not being put off.
Absolutely. To be said for so many things.
The H2O podcast from BBC Radio Solent.
Now, Portsmouth-based Type 45 destroyer HMS Defender returned home today after spending more than 6 months in the Northern Gulf. The ship's been involved in helping American forces involved in airstrikes against so-called Islamic State. Well, we caught up with families and crew to find out why this was such a special reunion.
Well, it's obviously an early Christmas, and he wasn't home last Christmas, so it'll be lovely to have him home this Christmas. It's hard to put into words. It is. It's hard to put into words. There's a mum. Your son's coming home, and he's safe. And it's almost Christmas, so it makes it doubly better.
Who are you waiting for?
My daddy.
And how long's he been away?
6 months.
Can you tell me what's the most exciting thing? Why is this day really, really special?
Because I love my daddy. And I'm excited because he's coming home.
You've not had that person that you love and everything else. And the main support of your family. And now he's coming home. And I am an emotional wreck. I am terrible.
I'm waiting for my husband, James. It's just a big celebration, them coming home. You know, they miss so much when they're away. And it's, you know, it's like your other half's missing. And then when they come back, you feel complete again. So yeah, and the children will be very happy to have their daddy home as well. So it'd be good, won't it? It'd be good to have daddy home, won't it?
Just so happy to be home. I just want to spend time with my son. Just spend time with my son and my family. Just have a nice Christmas. It's heartbreaking, but it's the job that we do, and it's our choice, isn't it? So, yeah.
Nah, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, yeah. You've been out there from them for the last 6 months, and it's just a pleasure to come and hold your little boy in your hand again and see the message. It's just... it's a wonderful feeling.
It's been a 6 months, 6.5 months away, and I've really missed my family, really miss everybody. I've been talking to them, but there's no feeling like, you know, being with your family in person, yeah.
What's it like having them back?
Amazing. Like a dream. I feel like I'm dreaming. Just waited so long, and it's finally came.
Well, HMS Defender's commander, Phil Nash, was equally happy to be home and paid this tribute to his crew.
Yeah, they're hugely proud of what they do, and we worked long and hard to be ready to do that whilst being away from home. But of course, also being away for so long, people miss their loved ones, and they're really, really glad to be home and to be reunited today. Men and women of the armed forces and the Royal Navy that we're talking about today join because they think it's a sacrifice worth making, and they're very proud to do their duty wherever that might be around the world. And the Royal Navy protects the nation's interests 365 days a year wherever it is around the world, and we're really proud to do that duty, but equally it's fantastic to be back. We've been away for 6.5 months. We've worked hard in some difficult challenging times, and it's great to be back and be reunited with loved ones.
The H2O podcast from BBC Radio Solent.
Right, and on the subject of Christmas,
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Thank you very much, Dino. Right, let's bring on George Malcolmson now, because he's going to tell us this story. Now, George, good morning. I've never heard this story before, and I missed you on the One Show, but apparently this story's been very well told over the years on the airwaves of BBC Radio Solent and the BBC in the South. And you're the man who's got all the knowledge on this, aren't you?
Good morning, Alex. I started this story as a PR story some years ago. We came across a photograph here in the archive of the Submarine Museum, and it showed this reindeer. And now the story had been known for some years, but it was so incredible that people didn't believe it. And when we found the photograph, we released it as a press story, and it has become a sort of annual favourite at Christmas time.
Well, it's a great story, and I'm just thinking, in fact, before I come up with my great idea for you, because I have got a great idea for you, George, let's just remind people who may have kind of half forgotten or maybe have never heard the story before what this is about. In 1941, the crew of HMS Trident were given a reindeer as a gift by the USSR Navy. The 56 crewmen spent 6 weeks sharing their already confined living accommodation with a fully grown reindeer nicknamed Pollyanna. The British crew of this T-class submarine were given the gift of the reindeer. I don't know whether it was around Christmas. Was it around Christmas, actually?
No, I think it was just reindeer were a common currency there and in northern Russia, and it was just given as a present. Having a look, I'm not sure it was particularly at Christmas.
Well, we need to know. We need to know the month. That's it, because if it is November, December time, it makes the story even better. Pollyanna, the reindeer, will get fresh air at the main hatch before the sub dived, and living with a reindeer underwater in wartime conditions obviously posed lots of challenges for the crew. A barrel of moss given by the Russians soon ran out, and Pollyanna had to live on scraps from the galley. That really is the crux of the story, and this is the story that you've been telling recently on The One Show, George, yeah?
Well, it is in November, mid-November. The journey back from Russia to Britain took about 15 days, November 15th to November 30th.
Well, there you are. It's a Christmas story,
it
George.
Is.
It it's
is.
A reindeer at Christmas. I'm thinking, where's the kids' book on this? Where's the movie? I know a movie's harder to do, but where's the really nice kids' book on this?
Yes, we should look at that. It's and it would be a great seller for Christmas.
Definitely, no doubt about it. Now, Pollyanna ended up at Regent's Park Zoo, which we now know, of course, as London Zoo. It was very impractical to put a reindeer on a submarine, wasn't it?
I think it was a traditional gift, but just taking it home in the submarine was the problem. And the journey was originally only meant to take 3 days, but the submarine was diverted away to operations on the Norwegian coast, looking for the German surface fleet. They didn't come across any enemy, but just had to remain on patrol for that extended period. The supplies they had for the reindeer ran out, so they had to improvise. The man charged with looking after this reindeer fed kitchen scraps, potato peelings, but the reindeer was particularly fond of condensed milk, and this caused it to put on a growth spurt and gave them some difficulty when they eventually had to get it out of the hatch at the other end when they arrived in Britain.
Oh, really?
And the other thing is, being quite a young reindeer, and it grew some antlers on the way. And these had to be sort of filed down and bits removed so that they could get it out the hatch.
Oh, how interesting. An interesting twist to the story. Was there somewhere quite convenient and spacious for the reindeer to stay whilst on the submarine, or was it just cramped all the way?
Well, those who have been on HMS Alliance, that's the wartime submarine here on display, will know that there's very little room for anything. But there was a small area for the captain and the reindeer nestled in there and made that its home, but the captain was continually tripping over it and shouting for the steward to come in to look after it and get it out of the way.
Now, when Pollyanna went to Regent's Park Zoo, what happened then? Do we know how long she lived for? How you know, did she meet another reindeer family? Was she happy there? Have we got any information?
HMS Trident was one of those rare survivors. It was there all the way throughout the war, and she survived a few years after the war. And all I've got is anecdotal evidence. The stories have been told by those who were on HMS Trident, and one version says that the reindeer was bred and her descendants were still there at London Zoo. So I haven't had the opportunity to go and research it. Perhaps if somebody from London Zoo can let me know.
Well, wouldn't it be? I don't want to. You know, I mean, I know you're a very important archivist at the National Museum of the Royal Navy. But would it not be an idea, George, to so that this story's got, you know, a new twist next year, to chase up London Zoo and find out whatever happened to Pollyanna?
That's my task for next year.
Would you do that for us?
I will.
And then come back to us this time next year and tell us.
Certainly.
Because it would be really interesting to complete the story and have a beginning, a middle and an end. I'm not telling you how to do your job, I'm honestly interested.
We will try and track that down and get in contact with them. I'm sure they keep the breeding records and things like that at the zoo.
I mean, I know making this into a movie would be beyond your control and would cost millions and millions of it, but a nice kid's book on this would be brilliant for Christmas, wouldn't it? Particularly seeing this as a Christmas story.
Well, I think the whole subject of animals kept on warships and submarines would make a great book, and I might propose that, because there's a long history of animals on warships and submarines. The very first submarine had three white mice as part of the crew, and pigeons for messages, and so animals have a long tradition of service on board warships and submarines.
The H2O Podcast.
Thank you for downloading this week's H2O Podcast from BBC Radio Solent. For more news on the water, listen online at bbc.co.uk/Solent, or click on our Hampshire or Dorset pages for regular features.